Tell you what I'll do, said Pataclus desperately. Is that a nose? Said Dios. More a beak, said Pataclusp. Look, O priest, how about... I think not, said Dios. No, I really think not. He scanned the quarry for Tepic, groaned, thrust the sketches into the builder's hands and started to run. Tepic had strolled down the path to the waiting chariots, looking wistfully at the bustle around him, and paused to watch a group of workers who were dressing a corner piece. They froze when they felt his gaze on them, and stood sheepishly watching him. "Well, well," said Tepic, inspecting the stone, although all he knew about stonemasonry could have been chiselled on a sand grain. "What a splendid piece of rock!" He turned to the nearest man, whose mouth fell open. "You're a stonemason, are you?" he said. "That must be a very interesting job." The man's eyes bulged. He dropped his chisel. He said. 100 yards away, Dios's robes flapped around his legs as he pounded down the path. He grasped the hem and galloped along, sandals flapping. "What's your name?" said Tepic.
"Ugh,"
said the man, terrified. "Well, jolly good," said Tepic, and took his unresisting hand and shook it.
"Sire!"
Dios bellowed.
"No!"
And the mason spun away, holding his right hand by the wrist, fighting it, screaming. Tepic gripped the arms of the throne and glared at the high priest.
"But it's a gesture of fellowship, nothing more. Where I come from..." "Where you come from, sire, is here,"
thundered Dios.
"But good grief! Cutting it off, it's too cruel."
Dios stepped forward. Now his voice was back to its normal, oil-smooth tones.
"Cruel, sire, but it will be done with precision and care, with drugs to take away the pain. He will certainly live."
"But why?"
"I did explain, sir. He cannot use the hand again without defiling it. He is a devout man and knows this very well. You see, sire, you are a god, sire."
"But you can touch me?
So can the servants." "I am a priest, sire," said Dios gently, "and the servants have special dispensation."
Tepic bit his lip.
"This is barbaric," he said.
Dios's features did not move.
"It will not be done," Tepic said. "I am the king. I forbid it to be done. Do you understand?"
Dios bowed. Tepic recognized number 49, horrified disdain.
"Your wish will certainly be done, O fountain of all wisdom, although, of course, the man himself may take matters into, if you will excuse me, his own hands."
"What do you mean?" snapped Tepic.
"Sire, if his colleagues had not stopped him, he would have done it himself with a chisel, I understand."
Tepic stared at him and thought, "I am a stranger in a familiar land."
"I see," he said eventually.
He thought a little further. "Then the operation is to be done with all care, and the man is to be given a pension afterwards, do you see?"
"As you wish, sire."
"A proper one, too?"
"Indeed, sire. A golden handshake, sire," said Dios impassively.
"And perhaps we can find him some light job around the palace."
"As a one-handed stonemason, sire?"
Dios's left eyebrow arched a fraction.
"As whatever, Dios."
"Certainly, sire, as you wish. I will undertake to see if we are currently short-handed in any department." Tepic glared at him.
"I am the king, you know," he said sharply. "The fact attends me with every waking hour, sire."
"Dios," said Tepic, as the high priest was leaving,
"sire, I ordered a feather bed from Ankh Morpork some weeks ago. I suppose you would not know what became of it."
Dios waved his hands in an expressive gesture.
"I gather, sire, there is considerable pirate activity off the Carlian coast," he said.
"Doubtless the pirates are also responsible for the non-appearance of the expert from the Guild of Plumbers and Dunnikin Divers," Tepic said, sourly. Dunnikin Diver, a builder and cleaner of cesspits. A particularly busy profession in Ankh Morpork, where the water table is generally at ground level, and one which attracts considerable respect. At least, everyone passes by on the other side of the street when a Dunnikin diver walks by.